Yeah. All right. Morning, everyone. Welcome back to First John.
Are we recording?
We're recording now.
We're live.
We're still on lesson three. I'm going to read the prayer on lesson four. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we were baptized, you placed your name on us. You claimed us as your own dear children for this life and for all eternity. Help us remain faithful to you. Bless us as we study your word and grow together in it. We ask this in Jesus' beloved name. Amen. Now, I'm not completely sure where we left off on lesson three.
Two. On the page for the top lesson.
No, we were on three.
Number two.
No, we were on three.
We are on that page.
Yeah, page two.
Number two.
We're on number two.
I marked that.
Three.
Do we have lesson three?
I grabbed four, but I don't have three.
You need three?
I marked three.
All right. Yeah, I didn't think we finished with this page. This
we
one.
Got through three.
We didn't finish with this one yet. Okay, so.
We got through three.
Well, if you want to go to three just for review, that's fine.
Oh, I know we didn't finish three.
No, we were discussing it, but time went out.
Okay, so the second question. This was regarding verses 15 through 17. The second question is, the same Spirit who witnessed the events in Genesis 3, verse 1 through 6, inspired these words. Describe Eve's sin using phrases from 1 John 2:16. How could she have used this verse? The title of the section is You Are Concerned About the World's Influence.
Page 3. Oh, page 3.
Okay. Lesson 2 or 3?
On lesson 3.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And it's this one there.
Oh, you're concerned?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Sorry.
No.
In Genesis 3, 1 through 6, is now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it.
Well, obviously she was focusing on the world's world and not focusing on what God desires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her focus should be on what God desires for us instead of what the world wants us to believe. And the devil does not want us to think about God whatsoever.
Right.
But about what the world offers.
Right.
And it worked.
Well, doesn't that happen all the time, though? I mean, they come up, the devil's crafty. I mean, he doesn't say, oh, God didn't say. He phrases it in such a way that, oh, he really didn't say that. He didn't mean that. And he starts it, you know, I mean, no one said he wasn't clever. I mean, he's darn clever in what he can and can't do. And I think that's a problem. And the world does interfere with life in general. And I mean, I think that's what I think when you say it, this is all of the world. Well, yeah. Well, God says no. Yeah, but.
It looks good.
Yeah, yeah, but. Yeah, but.
I think the part about being boasting of what he hasn't done, that's really what Eve was going after was wisdom. She wanted to be like God.
Right.
And be able to say, I'm as good as God.
That's exactly
I know,
it.
I know. And I think that's one of the major problems with the world. Is we want to be a God.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to be less than God. And that's the devil uses that very effectively. Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. we have our consulting meetings on a weekly basis. Especially dependent on God.
Yes.
And just to feed off what Steve was saying, we don't like the idea that we have to depend on somebody else. We like to be in control of our own destiny.
Yes, in control.
You know, we're the man. You know, that's
kind of becomes a problem. Yeah.
Well, in every other part of our life, we need to do something. You know, what do I need to do to earn this young lady's favor so she'll marry me? What do I need to do to get promoted, to get that job I want? What do I need to do to retire? It's all, what do I need to do? So what do I need to do to go to heaven?
But, you know, you can look at other parts of the Bible saying you can't just slough off and not. And you can find charts to prove that you can't be just saying, oh, I'm just going to sit here and let, you know, God do it all. And so you can always be pointed to other parts in the Bible where you're going to say, oh, well, I need to do this for myself. And it's easy enough then to rely on God, but then you start relying on yourself for everything. You know, and we're pointed by that, a lot of these churches that, well, I have to, what's the phrase when you...
Invite Christ
into your heart. It's something that you do. And, you know, so and it's real easy to make that twist because we want to do that. It's something that we do. Then we can feel good about ourselves because it's something that we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to do.
I like that passage that was, I think it was the epistle lesson today where it says, we've been created to do good works, but God prepared those in advance for us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it struck me too.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, that's right. And I remember Pastor Tackmeyer's sermon last week. He talked about, like, we can't even choose to do our good works. That's the Holy Spirit working through us.
My point was that the influence of the world causes us to want, you know, make us feel, because everything else in our life is says, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. Your boss will come to you, look, if you don't want to get fired, you got to do blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're law-driven, not gospel.
Yeah. You know, you drive down the road, it says speed limit. It, you know, it, just everything we do, it's about, you know, law. And so the world is driving us towards that.
Yeah.
And the caution for a Christian is, you know, a balance of law and gospel.
Yeah.
You know, the law shows us our sins, you know, but we're motivated by the gospel because we're forgiven.
Well put. The next question is, what sobering thought is brought out in verse 17?
You're going to die. I don't care how you look at it, you're going to die. You can feed your broccoli. You know, it's going to happen. It's there, and the desires of the world will pass. But if you love God, you will live forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's... But, in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
They say life is short. Seems like a long time at times when you're fighting the battles.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that this world will be gone someday. We don't know when, but it'll be gone. Mm. But God will always be there.
Yeah.
It's one of those few phrases that you hear that whatever comes after the but is good.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually it's, but, and it's usually a bad thing, but this is a good thing.
All right, the section, His Word in My Life. A Christian says, I wish sometimes I didn't have so much material wealth. Then I'd really know that I'm not dependent on it, but on Christ. Be careful what you pray for. How do you measure your attachment to the things of the world?
April 15th. How do we spend our time and our resources? How do we do April 15th?
Yeah.
That's our question.
Oh, well, but I think that you can have people, there's Christians that are wealthy, and we're actually all wealthy here in the United States, but there's Christians that are very, very wealthy, but it doesn't mean that their wealth has to rule them. I think you just, if you can just enjoy what you have, but it doesn't take over your life, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Paul. He said, you know, I'm learning to be content whether I am a lot or a little.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me which way it is. I'm content because that's not the important thing in my life. And we just got back from Egypt where we saw when she said about Americans being wealthy. I mean, Americans are so much better off. Our poorest people
exactly.
are better than most of the world. Because yeah. we were driving in Cairo, and he said, that's middle class neighborhood there, apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. And everybody on the bus looked at each other and said, in America, that is a ghetto. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about wealth, we are very wealthy
yeah.
compared to all the people in history. So it's a matter of not focusing that that's all you need.
I mean, even people that live in out of their cars, I wouldn't want to live out of my car, but people that are living in their cars, they at least have a car to live out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's people in India and mm-hmm. you know, South America or Egypt or whatever that don't have a car to live out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's that?
I like this proverb. This is the one I would pray a lot. Two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Yeah. And I really like that one
because
it's the middle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I look at our home and I think, we are so blessed. If we had more, would we start to think we did it? You know, if we had left. And I really like that passage because it kind of shows that contentment
yeah.
with what you've been given and being a good yeah. steward of it.
Listen, you still have that to be super wealthy because I think of Schwann and the money he had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was a faithful Christian his whole life. So it's just how you look at it.
Yeah.
He used his money for the good of the church.
Yeah. I think the key word is dependent. What do you depend on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Depend on your own resources, your own abilities, or do you depend on Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your dependence must be.
We look back when Christ said to the rich young man, and he said to him, he says, give up everything you own and come follow me. You know, it caused a little bit of consternation, and would it do it to us as well? That's why I just say it's harder for a rich man, you know, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, that's because, money doesn't buy happiness. It sure buys a whole lot of fun.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's where we get in our trouble. I mean, it's nice to have money. I mean, no one's going to argue that. I mean, would you like to pick up tomorrow and say, hey, let's take a week and, you know, I don't have to worry about money. Yeah. But is that my focus? That's where you say Schwann. I don't think he, well, I even Warren Buffett, if you look at him, that one of the richest men in the world, he got down to his house in Omaha. It's just this nice little house in the upper middle income area. I mean, there's no, it's not a castle, it's not a mansion, it's not a gated thing. I mean, it's just a house.
Well, since we haven't been privileged to go down there and invite to his house, well, you have to take your word for it.
I haven't been invited in either. But his name is on the front of the house. This is Buffett. I mean, it's not a, no, I mean, he's just
could
that
be Jimmy.
Way.
That's right.
What'd you say?
I think
could be Jimmy.
Could be Jimmy Buffett. I think of Job.
Yeah.
You know, he had everything taken from him. His family, his wealth, his everything. You know, and he replies with, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And that, I mean, you know, if this economy or the next economy or whatever happens and everything is taken away from me, I hope and pray that I can respond like that.
Yeah. That's proper focus.
Instead of
how we've been talking.
instead of disparaging the comments.
Yeah. All right, this section is you are battling against the Antichrist. And this is based on 1 John 2:18 through 27, which read, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." John says, this is the last hour. What signs indicate that we are living in the last days? See also Matthew 24, 4 and 5.
Wars, poverty, earthquakes. Nations fighting against nations.
Mm-hmm.
All the above.
I was thinking of people who deny the Son, Mormonism, Islam. Mm-hmm. You know, they say they have the Father, but Jesus
Jehovah's
is.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah. You're just thinking of how much those religions are spreading.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or just the New Age, you know.
Yeah.
Anything
that feels good.
The good feeling. I New Agey type stuff.
One particular that has all the religions. Basically spelled out, I think it's called about peace or something like that. But it has all the different symbols of all the religion, including the cross. And just remove the cross from that and I'll be very happy. Because you know? It has nothing to do with those other religions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the going trend, is the New Age universal. We're all going to get to heaven one way or another. God appears differently.
Well, it's easier. It's happier.
Yes.
You know, there's no repercussions because, you know, I'm good. I'm doing the right thing.
Okay, you like Jesus and I like, you know, the little green guy over here. But, you know, we'll see in heaven.
I think because we all believe in the same God, so what's the problem?
We're all good people. We're good things. You know, it's the good people that are good. And I'm good.
The false teachers that come within the church, and the word compromise. Mm-hmm. These churches that compromise facts that are in the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and they seem so harmless that they are so hurtful. You know, when people compromise marriage, when people compromise abortion, when people compromise issues, you know, within that God truly makes. These are truths. Christ is the only way. No other way. I mean, we're hateful people by saying, you know, how can you say that God, Christ, is the only way? Because the Bible says
it. And he says it,
isn't
right.
That is just heretics, you know. And that's what the media and all these mega churches are just killing us.
Well,
with the compromised facts in scripture.
Yeah. Isn't that the same deception that Satan started with in the garden? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Did God really say?
God really meant it.
You can't really think that Jesus is the only way to heaven.
You know,
that is a loving God,
We think Lutheranism is a true religion, but you can't say that because there are other, you mentioned it there, it's within the church. Other Lutherans, and I'm not going to say Wells is teaching falsely, but as far as I know, they're okay. But there's a little resistance going on in every religion. But even in Lutheranism, you got pastors, you got teachers, you got lay people that don't believe Christ was born of a virgin and that he's third person of the Trinity, and they teach this in there within Lutheranism. And so you got to be very careful. As somebody asks you, "What religion are you?" Say Lutheran. Oh boy, if they've had any contact with the ELCA and a couple of these other Lutherans, they say, "Oh boy, you don't believe this, you don't believe that, you don't believe something else." Well, wait a second. I'm not part of that Lutheran group. I got out of that group because of what they were teaching. But it's there, and you got to be so careful.
You almost wish that we didn't have the name Luther attached to our synod, because
sister said something one time. She said, people ask me, what am I? She don't say I'm a Lutheran. She says, I'm a Christian. And I think that hit the nail on the head. I'm a Christian. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to, I'm a Christian.
I often say I'm Wells Lutheran.
Yeah.
I specify.
It defines it, and
they say, "Oh, you're one of those."
Yeah, exactly.
We should say, "I'm proud of it."
Yeah. And then they'll say, "Well, how can it really be wine and the bud?" And I says, "Because that's what the Bible says." Yeah. But it just symbolizes. I said, "That's not what the Bible says."
How can the Trinity be? You can't understand it.
No, and I just say that. I accept it on faith. But it's really hard. It's like, well, we're smart. God made us smart, so we should be able to understand this.
What you should say is, "I believe in the Word of God, which is revealed to me through the Word." Yeah. And that's what I believe in. I happen to attend a Luther church that practices that. Mm-hmm. And if it did not practice that, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm here is because it practices the Word and the sacraments and its truth and its entirety. Mm-hmm. When in Matthew 28, when God says, "Go and preach to all the nations everything God has instructed you." We don't practice some things, we practice everything. And I think the main thing we have to tell people is that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior as revealed, because they don't like that word. Because if it's revealed, then it has to come from something. Well, it does. It comes from the Word of God. Now, you want to argue that point? Let's go to the Word of God. But it's not me that's saying it. It's not the Lutherans that's saying it. It's Scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's what Luther pointed to. He always pointed to
Scripture. You've lost the argument when somebody says, "Well, I don't believe the Bible is the true Word of God."
All I can do is witness to you what I believe. I can't tell you what to believe. The Holy Spirit may, hopefully, but I can't.
I think we have to be on guard. As this passage says, that there are antichrists within the church. Mm-hmm. And I think the example is Missouri Synod. We were in fellowship with them 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. 56.
And now we're so far apart that, it's unbelievable. And it wasn't one day they woke up and said, "We don't believe all this stuff." It was like, started out a little here, and then they let preachers get a little doubt in there, and pretty soon they've lost everything, because once you start doubting, everything falls apart.
Yeah. Hold on to that line of thought, because we're going to be coming on that here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Question two is, John distinguishes between the Antichrist and Antichrists. What is the difference? Go for it.
The Antichrist would be, of course, the devil, and then the Antichrist would be the ones that are also with him against Christ.
That wouldn't be the first time I've heard that interpretation.
What's that? I didn't hear it.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, you know, because they have Antichrist with capital A, and I would have to say that that would be the devil. And then the Antichrists are his followers, people that are also against Christ.
Well, the Antichrists are sheep in wool's clothing that comes all the time. Mm-hmm. The Antichrist is the one that's going to come.
Do you want to read 2 Thessalonians?
We'll know in
chapter 2.
I agree with Luther.
If you want.
The Pope. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or his worship. So he sets himself in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God.
Yes.
They claim to be infallible before he goes on. Yeah.
And that he's God's vicar on earth and is the same as God on earth. And I think that's the difference between is he set himself up, I am God, and then God's temple. And actually, Roman Catholic Church, you know, is a Christian church. There are members of the Roman Catholic Church that will make it to heaven. But he's in their temple and setting himself up as God.
Yeah. But if you go on in 7 and 2 Thessalonians, thank you. My time is time. It says, the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So here, I think that indicates more of the devil, personally. Oh, but then it goes on to say the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan. So,
well, and when you think about it, it's displayed in counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. The hard passage, I think, is when it says God sends them a powerful delusion so they will believe the lie. But yeah, because it talks about how he sets himself up in God's temple. I think in a way, you know, there is one, but like it says, anyone against Christ. You know, you think of Joseph Smith, he set himself up. Every head of the Mormon church is the prophet, and he can get revelation from God, and he's perfect. And
There are a lot of antichrists. About every false religion is headed by an antichrist.
Right. When we were studying this last night, that's what I was thinking too, is, you know, you've got all of these false teachers and teachings out there, heads of various churches and stuff, but I don't think we've seen, well, if there's one person who stands up and says, I am God, you know, worship me, I don't think we've seen that person yet.
Well, the Pope comes as close, because he is in a Christian church to start with. He's not like in the Mormons or whatever. And he is basically saying, I'm infallible. I am Christ's representative on earth. And there are false miracles and stuff that the Roman Catholic
Church
pushes.
That's true. It does fit a lot. Yeah.
You know.
I think the Pope falls under Matthew 7:15, where it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves.
Yeah.
And the Pope is not, you know, I don't agree with you. I'm just saying that we have not seen the Antichrist because huge numbers of Christians will fall away if they're not prepared in the Word of God. And it's going to be, you know, it's like Revelation says, this person, we better be prepared. We better be in the Word of God because it's going to be so subtle. We're going to be like the frog that you put in the water and then turn it on. We're going to just burn to death. The Pope is hot water. You throw a frog in, he's going to jump out.
But that's what the Pope is. The Pope is the easiest part. Time before the Reformation, thousands of Christians fell away before Luther.
Yeah, but you don't know it. It mentions Scientology. Where does Scientology fall into all this? I mean, don't they have somebody that came up with this?
On Luther's day, though, he used the Pope because that's what he knew. Yeah. Yeah. In today's day and age, I gotta agree with Mark that, you know, that
the devil is the Antichrist, the capital A, and then the little tiny ones are the Mormon Church, the
Pope, even
possibly, yeah, the Jehovah Witnesses, you know, all the different little Scientologies and whatever that are out there that are claiming you can become God, you can become perfect, you can, you know, you don't need Jesus. Those are the Antichrist.
Yeah, and it doesn't
and
even have to be something.
You can't put a label or a name on any one of them.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be something even as drastic as one of those other churches. It can be something as, you know,
it can be your neighbor next door.
Communion, you know, this isn't the real blood and body of our Lord.
It could be your neighbor next door.
It could just be a slight diversion.
See, I agree with you with that, but I don't quite believe that Satan is the Antichrist. I just don't.
I think he's going to set up an Antichrist.
I'm sure he is. But I mean, I don't think that he is actually the Antichrist because he doesn't believe, he's never claimed to be. But he's never claimed to be Christ either.
Right. Because it says, you know, will be called God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not going to call the devil God.
But the good news is, nothing can be Christ. So no matter who comes, if we're prepared, we're safe.
Yep. Stick with the truth. John says that they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. What will happen within the visible church in the last days? And this goes back to what you were saying, Steve, about, you know, various splintering and factioning.
Yeah.
False doctrine.
Yeah.
False doctrine, deception, you're going to be misled, and it's going to happen. It is happening.
It has happening.
Yeah,
it is happening.
I mean,
was happening.
It is, was, will be.
Yeah.
Well, we're living in the last days is Christ. Okay, so we are in the last days. Mm-hmm. And the influence of the evil one's going to be with us until the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that influence is going to be here until he comes again.
But Revelation really points out that you got two problems the church is facing at the end times. Is persecution from outside of the church and false doctrine from within the church. But even though many fall away, there will be a remnant. That's the one that always keeps me one is that there will always be a remnant. And I've been reading the people by one Isaiah, and it keeps going back to that. Mm-hmm. Everybody in Israel was turning on faith, but there's still the remnant that's going to keep everything going forward. And there will always be that, mm-hmm. no matter what.
I read a paper the other day that was interesting on the downfall of the evangelicals. You know, within 10 years, it's going to collapse. And the reason it is because they're going political. They're taking their agenda into the political arena, and that's going to be the downfall of the evangelicals because they're taking their stances, biblical stances, and trying to, it was really interesting, and they're making it political. So then they're in an arena where they can't win. Mm-hmm. They can't win in the political arena. They need to stay out of that, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening to the church today. They're going to mingle with, they're going to try to force these, their issues of marriage and their issues of abortion onto people that have no idea. They don't believe any of it. They could care less. Yet we're taking that into the political arena, which is going to destroy the evangelicals. It was a pretty interesting scenario.
Where'd you read that article?
It was in. I got a copy of it. I'll give you a copy.
I'd love to read that.
It's really good. It's not written by a Lutheran either. It's written by somebody that I looked up their website. They're kind of a weird website.
So I sell your articles.
this guy, but it was pretty interesting. His logic, how he, you know, was happening.
Hey, question four is, to battle against the Antichrist, we need the Holy Spirit. What blessings does the Holy Spirit provide for us?
Truth.
Mm-hmm. Truth. All right.
Truth and faith.
Yeah.
Just an interesting thought to ponder. We got a chance to watch The Passion of the Christ yesterday, and there's that one scene in there I love watching where Christ is with Pontius Pilate, and he's asking him questions, and he says, and Jesus answers him, he goes, "I am the truth, And then Pilate comes right back with, what is truth?
You know. That's when Pastor had said that if you were a movie, you know, like a producer, and you're taking, you're filming this, that you'd zero in on Christ, you know, which I thought was really...
So the thing is like, you know, here's the truth standing right in front of him, and you can't see it.
And then Pilate has that conversation later with his wife. You know. And they're talking about what is truth, and she's trying to explain, and then he's saying all the political stuff the pastor talked about last Sunday.
And she goes, "Well, if you can't see truth right in front, if you can't see right in front of you, I can't help you."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, here's my truth. You know, Caesar says if I don't put down this rebellion anymore, then it's my blood." Mm-hmm. So he goes, "Here's my truth. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to prevent that."
Expediency.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, people look at it and say, well, what kind of truth do I want to make out of this? You know, even if God says, you know, this is the truth. You know, the truth is, I am the only way. Oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. That's not the only way.
There has to be something
that
we do.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be.
Well, this is a free country, right?
Yeah. But, you know, that goes back to trying to explain your faith in the triune God and the bread and the water, you know, being turned into... you know, in the wine and the blood. I mean, it just goes back to truth and faith and things that you can't really explain. And like you said, how do you explain truth, really?
Especially to an attorney.
I noticed that. X.
Reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend who's Catholic, and we got into the salvation's from faith and nothing that you do, because he's into, you know, all the penance and
things you got
to
do.
That. And so we went and talked to his priest, and he came back and he said, "Well, I don't believe what you said, that, you know, through faith alone." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, I talked to my priest, and the priest said, that's too easy."
That negates the church and their power. If it's that easy, I mean, how do we say it with the Catholic Church? That beyond the religious aspect, they are a political aspect, if you will. They've got other things. We used to joke in Boston when we grew up, when Cardinal Cushing died, he went to heaven, and he said, "You know, I'm a cardinal." And he said, yeah. Pope Peter said, "Well, I can't find you." He says, "Let me think for a second." Whoops, through says, "Ah, got you on the real estate." I mean, they own a third of the Boston church. I mean, you know, I mean, so, you know, you got to think. I mean, they control their people. Yeah. They don't do a lot of Bible studies, and if they do, it's strictly through their own books. Mm-hmm. And you learn that way. And it's different. I mean, they don't want you to think about it. We'll tell you what you need to know.
Well, I think one of my answers I put down, what the Holy Spirit provides for us, is it keeps us from strain.
Yeah.
You know, it helps us keep us in check. The Holy Spirit is there with me all the time because I keep wanting to get off track. And is it easy, faith? I think it's very, very difficult. I disagree with the priest. Faith isn't easy. You know, it's difficult. You know, and it's difficult to keep from strain. I just keep doing the same stupid things over and over. Yeah.
What, you know, what is truth? And you just said truth is Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is God's word. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's important to come back to, you know, the truth is right here in front of us. It's not the feeling we get. It's not what we think. It's, you know, what does Scripture say?
Yep. There was a religious group in John's day called the Gnostics. They claimed to be Christians, but taught that Jesus was not fully God from all eternity. According to them, he first became the Son of God at his baptism. What did Jesus say about himself in John 5:23?
I have it here, Dan.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
That all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. which is another way of saying the only way to God is through the Son.
Mm-hmm. The Galatian congregation fought with these people a lot, the Gnostics. They wanted to add to, you've got to do more than just this, you know. So they always drove you to the law and away from the gospel, mm-hmm. you know, the Gnostics, you know. And that Christ was true God and true man mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like we are saint and sinner in the same body. That's a concept that's very difficult, that you are a saint and a sinner. That you are equal to Christ. Today, the way I'm equal to Christ, how can that be? Yet I am because of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, so you need to live like that. You know, and that's the difficult part: the saint and the sinner.
I mean, the Gnostics are like many of us today too. We have a reasonable mind. We can think. We can put our agenda on this too. And mm-hmm. I think that's where it comes down. And we talked, you know, earlier about the Catholic Church. When you go back even to Thomas Aquinas with his centuresis, the little spark of life, it was a logical way to think, to progress. We think in timelines and we think in logical steps. God doesn't. There is no timeline. And there's no logic to it. I mean, what logic does it say that he's going to give you everything because you don't deserve it? Let me think about that one for a while. I can't figure this one out. Why would he send his son in here to get himself humiliated and put on a cross? Let me think on that one too for a while. I mean, none of it makes a whole lot of sense.
In human mind.
Now, as I said, God doesn't call me in for his conference calls and consulting at all. So what are we going to do? I mean, we have to take him at his word.
So what important message does every Christian hear in the earliest stages of instruction, and why must the Christian cling to this important message in order to remain faithful? But what specific message is driven to us when we're young?
Jesus loves me, yes, I know.
Yeah.
God's the love of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're saved because what he's done.
Not only, you know, it says we should cling, you know, you think of how we develop as humans, you know, as a baby, you start out nursing, you know, and then you start on soft food, and then you slowly develop your diet to a more advanced diet, and then perhaps when you're older, you go back to soft food, and the soft food is Jesus died for you, your sins are forgiven, and then there's some meatier portions of Scripture that we need to cling to. Mm-hmm. As we grow in, you know, sticking in the Word is the key.
Yeah. What would we cling to if we thought that that we had something to do with our salvation, mm-hmm. if we really messed up? Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
There's also a warning in this, that if you don't stay in the Word, you can fall away and miss eternal life. Mm-hmm. You can't just one saved, only saved. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to remain in it through your life.
How can you expect to stop eating and keep on living?
Yeah.
Question 7, is the Holy Spirit is our best teacher. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit in John 14:16 and 17? John 15:26, and John 16:13-14.
14, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it is neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and in you.
I have 15:26. Can you read that?
Sure.
John 15:26. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he must testify about me.
And 16?
Sure, I'll take 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you.
Like all three are so intertwined. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus sends the Spirit through the Father. The Father sends him to testify about Jesus, but yet the Spirit can only speak what he hears to make it known to us. I mean, there's, they're all wrapped together.
The Spirit isn't going to add. He's not going to have his book written, you know, whether directly by him or through somebody else. You're not having, you know, the Epistle of Thomas or something out of it. I mean, he's only going to speak the truth of Christ and what Christ said and reveal him.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much hit it. Guiding us to the truth.
What is truth?
The truth. So in this section here, a supervisor once gave his staff the following definition of a problem. A problem is a deviation from standard. Our Lutheran confessions describe justification by faith as our standard, the doctrine by which the church rises and falls. Anything that deviates from that norm is a problem. Antichrist will attack the teachings that Jesus is God from all eternity and that we are saved by faith alone in the merits of Christ. Why is it important to show modern Gnostics, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, where they have deviated from the standard, and how can we equip ourselves to do this?
I think the general, I mean, hearing, not that I'm an expert in any one of these, but Islam, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, whatever, it's the, you're good enough. You become perfect. It's a path and a bunch of checklists that you complete to earn your way into heaven. But, you know, Islam, you know, testifies that Jesus was a prophet and that he was perfect. And, you know, in the Bible that the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons use, you know, they still, you know, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Mm-hmm. I think you got to focus on that. Mm-hmm. Are you perfect? No, then you need a Savior.
Yeah.
And I think it's important because those people are truly lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, as we talk, we're talking about, in this Bible study, some Christian church bodies that are still part of the invisible church, the Holy Christian Church. You know, people who have truly lost it all, they are lost. And I think that's why Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, you know, they're going to hell if they believe what their church truly teaches. Mm-hmm. And so I think, and the problem with that though is, well, because when it says how can we equip ourselves, mm-hmm. like Mormons use the same words we do. Mm-hmm. It's just they have different definitions. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be in the Word. And I love the book by Pastor Cares on mm-hmm. Mormonism because it's your blueprint for talking to them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's kind of sad to think that that many people who are so nice, you know, are lost.
But you know, they put the Book of Mormon side by side with the Bible. It's equal to. So what they read in that Book of Mormon, it is equal to the Bible, you know, and their interpretations.
It's not equal, it's greater.
You ask them, do you believe in Christ? Oh, yeah, we believe in Christ. You believe he's the third person of the Trinity? Well, no, I don't think so. You believe he was born of a virgin? No, I don't think that can happen. But that's their teachings they're getting from the Book of Mormon.
If you talk Islam, they believe that Jesus Christ was a good, great prophet. I mean, they don't deny him at all. They don't think he's God's son, but I mean, that's another whole story. But I mean, they don't deny his existence by any means. So that is our problem.
Well, then the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe he's a God, just not the God.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing we can do is, like she's saying, is you have to understand their religion to be able to talk to them. Because if you don't understand how they've developed and what works, you're not going to succeed. Because I know in the Jehovah's Witnesses, they've twisted the beginning of John to, if you go back to it, find that. Because they substitute one word and it changes the whole meaning of it. The way it reads is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All the Holy Witnesses did on that is they changed, added the word a
God.
And the Word was a God, not the God. And from that, they get into the deal, he wasn't there to be, you know. He wasn't God from the beginning. God made him before he made the earth.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that also why they teach that you can become a God? That's like the Mormons. Same thing, you can become a God. But that goes back to works again.
Yeah.
Well, so, I think what we have to do is focus on what the question is. It's justification by faith. Nothing we do is going to makes us acceptable to God. Everything that God has done makes us acceptable to Him. And that's what you have to focus on when you're talking. I can't do anything. Yep. You know, God has done it all for me. Then you're in a conversation where you can't participate in this, buddy. So now we have to find out, what did God do for me? We have to go back to the Word of God. It tells us what God's done for us.
That's the simple.
Focus on. If we get into some kind of confrontation between what you think and what I think, or what you believe and I believe, we're done. Yeah. You know, what does the Bible tell us? Yeah. Because we believe we're justified by faith. Everything God's done, everything for me. I can't do anything that's right for God. And if they believe that, then we're talking, then we're on the same foundation.
Yep, basic law and gospel.
But realize too, that it's the Holy Spirit working in them, not us. So
right.
Even if we bumble around and don't say it as well as we think we should have, still the Holy Spirit is working. Mm-hmm. And we have to rely on that. But, you can't say, I saved that person or I didn't save that person. It's the Holy Spirit that either did or didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's why we're modern Gnostics. We want to rationalize and think. And that's why so many of these churches have got it. I always love Pastor Water strategy. Even if you, like Ivory Soap, 99.44% right, you still got that 0.56 that you're going to screw the whole thing up with. I mean, and that is, but see, they want that 0.56. We as humans, that's the way to kill you. You're going to say, well, I've got to do something in this. I've got to do something, and we aren't going to do it. And I think that's where we come down. And that's part of the hardest part of it. For a human, I do nothing. Oh, no. Nothing is free. Great line, you know what I mean? And I think that's where we're fighting it.
Yep.
Can I ask Grouper help with something?
Sure.
Sure.
Not if we're going to help you.
I've been kind of bouncing back and forth with John here as we've been discussing this stuff. And and this may sound silly, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Because in 1 John 15, where it says, do not love the world, it says, and if we're taking the Bible at its word, correct, do not love the world or anything in the world. That's a very bold statement, right? And it even goes on to say, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust in our eyes, and the boasting, etc., is all bad. So do not love the world or anything in it. Later on it says, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another.
How do we justify those two?
It says up here, do not love anything in the world. But then it says,
but we are not part of this world.
We're not part of this world.
As what believers, we're not, the devil owns the world. This is his kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This isn't our kingdom. Our kingdom.
I couldn't.
Heaven is our that out. We're been strangers here.
Yeah.
The song. We're just strangers here. They're living here.
You know, I can see where
it's a struggle. and there's many places like that.
But yeah, you sit there with it. Well, you can say, well, gee, I love my wife. You know, I mean, I love this. But it's also said that if you have to come down between your wife and Christ, who do you pick? I mean, I'm not telling you easy. You know, your own children, even, let's say that. You still have to pick Christ. I mean, even though it's difficult. Not my kids. No, the kids
are
easy.
It's really easy.
Which day it is, yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. Only Monday,
you
only
can't even pick some either.
Only Sunday through Saturday do I dislike them at times.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.